Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hey everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast.
The show where we get hyped about stuff and or things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am the other co-host, David Bell. We're guestless.
We're guestless today.
We had a last minute guest cancellation, which is no big deal.
Guest rescheduling.
NBD. Yeah.
She'll be here next week.
Yeah, I'm not stressed about it.
Yeah, not worried.
Our last time we had no guest, we did fine. So mm-hmm. We'll do fine this time.
We did spectacularly, I think. Mm-hmm. So this time we're going to be
one of our
even
best
better.
Shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Every day somebody new tells me, you know, that one episode you did where you didn't have a guest. Best episode
they're,
ever.
They're dragging you down.
Mm-hmm.
They're dragging us down.
Yep, it's the dead weight of a third person. We don't need it. We don't need him at all. We can run this show.
Yeah.
There's only two seats in the cockpit.
Exactly.
Actually, I think there's three.
In a cockpit?
I don't know.
There's like the one that like the pilot, like don't like pilots get like free rides where they can like sit behind the other pilots?
I hope so.
In the movie Airplane, there's like four seats.
There's a pilot, a co-pilot, and a navigator in Airplane.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
That can't possibly be. It can just be a computer at this point, right? Mm. That's one of those jobs where they're like, don't tell anyone, but you don't need us anymore.
Yeah, I feel like we don't need a navigator anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just the pilot and the co-pilot.
Yeah. I don't think we need a co-pilot at this point.
I don't know,
man.
I feel safe with a co-pilot.
I get it. I think that if you looked at that, though, like I'm imagining like the corporate people at Delta being like, we can really just do this with a computer. Like we've run the math and like we wouldn't have any access, but no one's going to allow us to just have nothing up there.
Yeah.
That's my guess. As a expert in aviation.
Yeah, right. As a storied aeronautical engineer.
Yeah.
I feel like we're qualified to speak on this.
Yeah.
Welcome to Planecast.
Planecast.
Sure, we get hyped about planes and jets.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about our first plane.
Yeah. What's our first plane?
Our first plane is... Guys, it's Terminator Dark Fate.
Terminator Dark Fate. White hot, piping hot trailer.
Yeah.
Just came out.
Just came out. Came out. Arnold was the one who he premiered it. He first tweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
I was delighted on Reddit because he's also in the Reddit movies subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who posted it.
Yeah.
And then it just turned into an AMA where he just started talking to people. And there's some pretty great stuff.
The commando one?
Yeah.
The commando one is perfect.
Yeah.
He talks about how, if you haven't seen it, somebody asks him, did you guys know commando was funny while you were making it? And he said, when they filmed me carrying a 1,000-pound tree with one arm, I kind of knew it was funny.
Yeah.
And he's like, and also I wanted to kill a guy by ripping his arm off and beating him to death with it.
He's like, been...
And then he had to go. He said he had to go tell the producer that, and the producer said, "No, we're not doing this. Get the fuck out of my office."
Arnold is sort of. I think he's gaining status as being like a Bob Ross type, whereas everybody's just like, because he's like right now in his career, he's just positive vibes, real positive vibes.
Yeah,
I noticed in that AMA, people would be like, "Man, those last films weren't very good. What about this new one?" And he just like ignore the first part and then very politely answer the second part.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all positive vibes.
That's all you can do, really.
Yeah.
Like
also, I think he's a happy guy. Like if you're a successful, happy superstar like Schwarzenegger, like why be mean?
Yeah.
You know, like at that point, that people are like, drop kicked
him this
like,
weekend. What's up with that?
Yeah. Well, they drop kicked and bounced off of him.
Right. And then immediately got the shit beat out of him by one of his handlers.
Yeah. Like, that sounds about right.
If you guys didn't see it, somebody drop kicked Arnold in the back.
I think people saw it at this point, right? It's it.
I was concerned because he's in his 60s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 No, he's not
he's
a
an
young
old
man.
Guy.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's fascinating seeing like a muscle man age
mm-hmm.
and become like a like I can't wait to see like him at Paul Newman age,
mm-hmm.
but he's like ripped.
But he's ripped. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna. Just... I imagine he's gonna look a lot like. Damn it, his name escapes me. The blind guy from Don't Breathe. The bad guy from Avatar.
Fuck. Oh. Stephen Lang.
Scott Lang
Thank
is Ant-Man. He's gonna look. I think he's gonna look a lot like Stephen Lang.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, everybody check out Stephen Lang.
Everybody check out Stephen Lang. Now,
as you can tell, I have no interest in this movie.
Yeah, these movies, they just I can't feel anything about Terminator at this point.
I grew up on this fucking movie. Like Sarah Connor was one of my first like heroes as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so like to see her back should be thrilling. But it's just such a, it's just been such a fucking disappointing franchise because it doesn't really, it ended at Terminator 2.
Yeah, perfectly.
Yeah. The big, they say James Cameron returns in this, which I guess technically he hasn't produced a Terminator since Terminator 2.
Mm-mm.
Not that that's going to matter or make a difference.
No. He's just putting his name on it.
Anything with... And, you know, Arnold's great, but, like, old Arnold in this makes... How is that going to make sense?
I don't know.
Like, there's certain things I think they feel the need to have to put in. Like, Arnold has to be in it. But, like, there's no way they can write that a Terminator ages in a way that isn't dumb, I think.
Yeah.
There's no way they can approve on the T-1000 that I think...
So they just make it dumb.
Yeah.
Like the T-1000 in this one is on an endoskeleton for some reason.
Well,
and then can come free of the endoskeleton to just be its own liquid metal guy, own separate liquid metal guy.
That's definitely the most clever I've seen since the T-1000.
Mm-hmm.
But they almost knew Terminator Genisys is a bad movie, but they knew to like do nanobots, which I guess the T-1000 is supposed to be sort of. But like
it turns out to be a very similar visual.
Yes. But like if they did someone who's like a mist and could like I think at that point they'd just be too powerful, but cuz it feels like they have to give them limitations. Like the T-1000, what made that such a good villain is it was like, how the fuck are they going to kill this thing? Like this thing is indestructible.
You can't, there's no topping it. That's part of the problem.
Exactly. And they kill it only by like
they throw it in Mount Doom, like basically.
It's ridiculous coincidence is that they just happen to crash in the only place you can dispose of this thing.
Steel mill.
And they're just very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
like nothing about this movie interests me in the slightest.
Yeah. I also suspect, and maybe I'm wrong, and I honestly don't care either way, but I suspect that Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger maybe, or definitely Arnold Schwarzenegger, aren't in it that much.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I get. I think people are going to be, I think they're going to pull the rug out and it's going to be mostly those two young Terminator people.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Linda Hamilton will be in it a good amount.
I don't know.
The people on Twitter were talking about this, like, where's John Connor? And again, like, it really, who cares? It's just this ridiculous elaborate mythology at this point that
it's
stupid, and there's so many timelines.
We've made how many sequels now? This is the fourth one, fourth. Like, there's part three, then there's Salvation, then there's Genisys, right?
Yes. The podcast probably can't hear, but my cat is just meowing in the other room.
Your cat is losing her mind.
Kitten. She's not responding
now
anymore.
She's not responding, yeah.
Yeah. This fucking... Also, this looked... the T-1000 or whatever the fuck they're going to call this one, the effects looked okay. But then people were putting like screen grabs of like the makeup versus this, and he was like, oh yeah, that doesn't look that great. Mm-mm, does it?
It looks pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trailer, so
yeah. I like that. There was a lot of counter, like, I saw some shit on Twitter today about like people seeing Aladdin now that it's out,
right,
and being like, oh, the genie effects don't look as bad as they did in the trailer. And then a lot of contrarians, well, that's because when will people learn that effects aren't done 6 months out? And it's like, then stop fucking putting them in the trailer.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, because that's the thing, is I'm not going,
like,
don't
be mad at me for saying something looks like shit
when it objectively looks
like shit, because, ooh, it's not finished. Then don't fucking show me.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Show me when it's done, you asshole.
This just looks, oh god, I forgot that this trailer has like a CGI plane crash in it.
The planes crashing into each other in midair, and it looks bad.
Yeah, it does, and it looks generic.
It looks like garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I don't know. They're gonna have to do something really, really unique to win me over. The fact that it's directed by the guy who did Deadpool is, I guess, kind of neat. Has he done much other than Deadpool?
Did he do Zombieland, or was it the writers that did Zombieland?
I don't know. Well, that actually brings me to the point. If he did do Zombieland, he definitely did Deadpool. There's nothing in here that feels like it was made by the guy who did Deadpool.
Mm-mm.
In fact, why get the guy who did Deadpool to do a serious Terminator? That was the one thing that I thought, like, oh, maybe this will save it, is if this movie was like...
If it was like funny.
Yeah, exactly. If it was like the Shane Black Predator, mm-hmm. where they're like, fuck it, no one gives a shit at this point. We might as well make it like crazy.
Yeah.
And it just looks like every other generic Terminator sequel at this point.
Yeah, it all looks like assy trash that we're going to immediately forget about.
Yep.
That should have been the subtitle to this, not Dark Fate. It should have been called Terminator Assy Trash.
They should have brought it back to the horror movie.
Yeah.
They should do something, anything that looks remotely original. They should have called it Assy Trash.
Assy Trash, man. Yeah. I'd see the shit out of Terminator Assy Trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. It's another one, like Alien movies, why I don't understand why they keep making them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fellas,
we're all set.
Yeah.
we have
shifted the balance way in favor of there's more worse movies than there are good movies in this franchise.
It's not even, all right, it's not just that I don't understand. It's when I don't understand why they insist on doing the same thing. Like, for example, Alien, to its credit, Prometheus had some problems, but of, like, the newer Alien stuff...
Probably the best one.
It's probably the best one. And the reason why is because he was like, you know what? Let's do something totally different.
Yeah.
And then I think there was, like, studio pressure to, like, make it sort of like Alien.
Yeah.
And then the Alien Covenant was just like, all right, here's your Alien.
Yeah. He was pressured to include the alien.
Yeah.
It originally wasn't going to be in it at all.
They should have started with that knowledge. They should have advertised Prometheus as being like, look, it's as technically a prequel to Alien, but it has nothing to do with it. Like, mm-hmm. it's in the universe or something like that. But like something like that was cool. Or like doing an Alien film that's just going back to a very claustrophobic story of like dealing with an alien. But they keep just like trying the same bullshit over and over again, as does Terminator.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's making them money, I guess. Now that Disney has bought Fox, they have said, oh yeah, we're not done with any of this.
Of course not. Why would they be?
Yeah, they just got it. They want to fucking play with it. It's the worst.
Yeah. I guess we can look forward to, alongside the new Star Wars trilogy, by the Game of Thrones guys.
Yeah. It's a real bummer.
Yeah.
Some real bummers to start our hype cast.
What's the next trailer?
All right. This is less of a bummer, I would say. Once Upon a Time in...
Hollywood.
Cat's flipping out.
Yeah, your cat is being a maniac today. I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Goblin.
She's normally not this demonic while we're trying to record.
Yeah, not while we're trying to record.
Yeah, not while we're trying to record.
Right now, the chair is just moving back and forth, and I can hear scratching, but I can't see her.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's a real haunted mansion vibe right now. I'm going to see this.
Yeah.
I like the time period. I generally like Tarantino movies.
I like his movies exactly once, usually, at least the newest ones, is they always, I always enjoy them when I watch them, and then I feel very little desire. The only one that I was like, while watching it, was like, I'm not into this, was Hateful Eight.
Mm-hmm.
That, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm into this. I've been, ever since it was announced, I've been really curious what the story is going to be, because it was announced as like, Tarantino's making a Manson movie, and it's like, not really that.
No.
It's kind of it's adjacent to it, but it's like I think it's about the death of the golden age of Hollywood.
Yeah, I could see that. It's got the Inglourious Basterds feel, where it's like this isn't quite reality, but it takes place in a specific time with historical characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about Tarantino is that he has so much sway as a director. He has so much power that you get to see actors in his movies that you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always delightful, you know?
Yeah. I'm excited to see Pacino in a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, exactly. it's the same. I have the same with Wes Anderson, where it's like taking away his style and whether or not you like it. I love seeing actors who would normally turn down, who normally go for like safer roles, do something fucking crazy because they're like, well, it's a Tarantino film. Like,
right. Yeah.
I'm going to like seeing Brad Pitt in Inglourious Basterds, just like doing a weird character and voice. And it's like, you could only get Tarantino. Maybe not Brad Pitt. He's done plenty of weird voices.
He likes to do weird things, but the scene in Inglourious Basterds where they're in the lobby of the movie theater and Christoph Waltz is speaking extended Italian German. It's like a 2 or 3 minute sequence that Brad Pitt is just standing there with the funniest look on his face, because he doesn't have any lines in that sequence. He's just like standing there just kind of like sneering at Hans Landa, but like, it's just, and it's like a, it's several minutes of him.
I do now
kind of
want to watch that movie again. Christoph Waltz needs to, I know it's what, two movies so far, he needs to be in every Tarantino
pretty
film
much
from
yeah
here on.
Yeah,
because he was sort of built for Tarantino.
He's two for two, man.
Yeah,
he got two Oscars for his one for each of his Tarantino movies.
I just rewatched The Zero Theorem. He's starring in that, and that's another delightful thing to see Christoph Waltz in
a Gilliam film.
Yeah, in a Gilliam film. It's pretty fitting.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna watch this movie for sure.
Yeah.
I'm more into seeing this than I was seeing The Hateful Eight, which I only saw recently. I didn't see Hateful Eight till within last year. Like it took me a while to get to that one.
I'm glad he's sort of moved on
from the Western vibe.
Yeah, because I always, again, Tarantino, I'm never been thrilled about him. I tend to like his earlier work, but I think it's more that, I think at this point in time, we've all kind of accepted who he is, and we know what to expect in his movies. And, like, I don't think he's, like, totally beloved at this point. It's just like, yeah, it's Tarantino. I guess what I'm getting to is, like, I've always been more annoyed by the hype around him than, like, when I was in film school, it was insufferable.
You were in,
I was in
that would
film
be,
school around the early 2000s.
I was going to say that would be, like, the worst time, but that's I was correcting myself, like, mid-late 90s would have been the worst time to be in film school in terms of Tarantino.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So when you went to film school, I'm sure people were shitting their pants about, like, Boondock Saints and Amelie.
Boondock Saints. Oh, Boondock Saints.
Oh, my God.
Well, that movie went sour real fast. I mean, that movie, I don't want to... I remember, like, trying to like that movie because it was popular to like.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the first scene is like, oh, I hate these characters. Why are we following these characters? They're hateful people.
Oh, my God, that movie.
Ugh. I never saw the sequel. But yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah. Next one is Toy Story 4.
I can't. Every trailer I firmly stated my hot take a while ago on this show, but I think this movie is going to be bad.
I think this is a Terminator situation. They told a story. It took three movies, and now they're just like, more money? Can we have more money?
It's just, I can't. It's like, oh, we got to make sure nothing happens to Forky. Get the fuck out of my face.
That line is...
Yeah, it's fuck you, movie.
I'm sure it'll be fine, but it's also... I think I'm at least have less stamina for kids' movies, too, because they're kids' movies. Like, if I was a child, I'd be like, yay, Toy Story 4. Who gives a shit? I'm a little
right.
Motherfucker.
I like everything because I'm a kid and I don't know anything yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids are idiots.
But like, this is one where I'm like, God, are we gonna have to see this for we just watched?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I mean, hopefully it's good, but like every trailer I've seen, it's just like, this is the most.
It's
like unnecessary. It's like, and I think Cody pointed out that it's all three movies. It's all three original of the first. Trilogy just combined into a single movie.
Yeah, it just feels all jokey and shit now. It doesn't seem like it has a purpose other than to be it feels like any other kids movie at this point.
Yeah. It may be,
which I guess the original Toy Story doesn't have that Pixar thing where it's just punching you in the nads with emotions.
No, but it's like solid.
But it's solid, exactly. And it's a really, it was something that people hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. And it was like a really...
All three Toy Stories are home runs, man. They're like very strong films.
The second one like dipped a little for me.
A little bit.
But the third one, yeah.
I was...
The third one's a real...
That was real unexpected.
Yeah.
So this one, I don't know. It might be just like... an Incredibles 2 situation.
Yeah.
Where it's Incredibles 2 was a kind of a letdown.
Yeah, well, because of the fucking like 10 years or even more, like 13 years. 15 years. It was just like, really? You had that much time and you just made, like, it's a passable sequel. Like, this will probably be passable.
Right, there's nothing wrong with Incredibles 2. It's just, it's pretty much the exact same movie. Just with Bob Parr trading places with Helen.
This just reminds me, especially like the Pirates of the Caribbean's had this problem, and I'm sure I've used this analogy many times. It's a band bringing down the house with their like hit song as their encore,
mm-hmm.
and then being like, wow, they're really into us. All right, we're gonna play some more. Let's play for another hour. This is off our new album. Let's go. It's that where like they don't read the room, where they're like, no, there's a reason the last one did really good, because it was like a perfect finisher and everybody was really into it. And so you're overstaying your welcome now.
Yeah.
And everybody will be kind of polite. They'll clap for a little bit and they're like, oh, okay, yeah. And then eventually people are just going to start like quietly leaving, because, I mean, that's the Pirates of the Caribbean felt that way. Where the last one is, everybody's like, no, why are you still doing this?
Why?
Yeah, you made three and then we accepted a fourth and now you're just still going.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, there's something about that fork. I want to throw it in the trash.
Yeah, fork sucks.
It's just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, what more is there to fucking say about these fucking toys? They could reboot it and like start with new toys. I could see them wanting to do video game characters, but someone beat them to that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. Fucking
no, Disney beat them to the. They Pixar, beat themselves.
They just put out a thing saying that their Pixar is going to focus on like original stuff after this, which I feel like I've heard Pixar say a few times. Of like, don't worry, we're going to make. They made Coco and like.
Yeah. Inside Out.
Yeah.
They've had some big ones recently that weren't sequels.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know why they need this.
I don't know.
I
feel like. It was a situation where like Disney's like, look, we're making these movies.
Oh yeah, I've heard that where they made a deal with Disney, which was like, look, don't make your fucking direct to DVD sequels of our movies. Just tell us when you want a sequel. Like, I think Monsters University was one where Disney was that like, look, we're going to make a sequel.
I consistently forget that movie exists.
I think most of the world does, because it was Pixar being like, okay, they're making us make a sequel. What do we do? Well, we don't want to continue the story because it ended in a great place. So let's do a bullshit story when they're in the university. All right, let's move on to something less depressing, which is the global warming, the climate change documentary.
Yeah, way less depressing.
Way less depressing. Ice on Fire.
Ice on Fire, yeah. It's an HBO documentary. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, narrated by Leo. Maybe this will get
DiCaprio telling us about the environment.
Turns out that Al Gore didn't spark people's invigorate us.
Well, I like that this one is so solution focused.
Yes.
Like the point of this film is it's showing all of the fucking amazing things that people are doing to try to like preserve the environment.
I really like that because it really does feel like someone watching Inconvenient Truth and like, could you jazz it up more? Maybe more than a slideshow. Could you get someone other than him? Because he's a real bummer.
Could you not the boringest man on the planet to narrate this?
Yeah, and could you maybe focus, be more positive, focus on solutions.
Yeah, tell us what the solutions are.
Yeah. The fact that they, like, in the trailer, they have someone saying, like, it's now, like, more lucrative to be solving the problem than to be causing and stuff like that, where it's like,
shit, like, you know, solar farms and fucking underwater kelp farms.
Yeah.
They're able to draw carbon out of the atmosphere. There's cool stuff in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could use some of this kind of positivity.
Yeah, this isn't gonna change the world, but it's like
it
cool
might help.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna help, and what I like about it is it seems like the people in it are like, yeah, we're already doing this stuff.
Yeah.
It could maybe get people's interest in it. Maybe
exactly.
Reach
so people
one or
know
two
what's
rich
possible
people.
And like be like, oh, well, yeah, some rich person can be like, oh, I'll put a bunch of money into this that I didn't realize this was possible.
Yeah, or some kid who just grows up to be an engineer.
Right,
it's
a kid
know?
Who grows up to be the next genius that saves the world.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah. Yeah, definitely the positive spin on this, because when I first saw it, I was like, I don't need to. It was like Blackfish, where I was like, man, I already don't go to SeaWorld. I don't need to watch a whole movie of why that place is a disaster.
You don't need to tell me why it's bad to make a whale live in a swimming pool and do tricks.
Yeah.
Like, I know why it's bad.
Yes. Although, shockingly, that we did need that, apparently, because after that movie came out, a bunch of people were like, well, I guess I'm not going to SeaWorld anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, Jesus, you didn't know that was fucked up?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where people just never really saw it
or thought about it. Yeah,
exactly. It's easy to not think about it. This doesn't feel like it's going to make me depressed like that. It's going to make me hopeful. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm into this.
And it's called Fire on Ice.
Fire on Ice.
To catch that Game of Thrones crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's for.
Yeah, it looks dope.
Yep. Continuing HBO, our next trailer is Westworld Season 3. I read this on Twitter. If you, two seasons in your show, if you kill off almost everybody and you just change your setting and story, I'm not going to watch you anymore, show.
Right. If you just write yourself into such a corner that you have to reboot the show and make it about something else entirely for season 3, you made a bad show.
You made a bad show. This is a bad show. I'm done with this show.
What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, and for people who think like, I saw like stuff that was like fan theories. Oh, it's still in Westworld. Like they're still in the island and stuff. I looked it up and like the producers were like, no, it's not. The quote they said is that he kept saying like, oh, well, it's not a reboot. Look, it's not going to be a reboot. We got some of the characters there. And he calls it that they're following a new storytelling path. And it's like, oh, okay. So you're just taking a different, path. Like you're rebooting your storytelling.
Right. You're telling a different story.
Yeah.
I was always uncertain of how they were going to sustain a series that is about what Westworld is about.
Yeah. And we wrote about this on Cracked. We were talking about this before we started recording. Like, I got shit for writing something saying that Westworld is probably a really dumb show in the first season. But, like, when you looked up, like, the first two episodes were shot, like, a year from each other.
Mm-hmm.
They had to stop shooting halfway through the first season to finish writing the show and to figure out what the show is going to be. It is just one big annoying mystery box, and like they clearly like they kind of wrapped up the show season two, like they accidentally concluded all the storylines, and so they're just like, here's a new guy, and it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that's insane.
What is this?
Like, compare it, think about any other TV show. If Game of Thrones after two seasons just like killed everybody except for like one character, like imagine like if the if Arya Stark went to the New World season two,
if Arya Stark went to the future,
yes.
Like just, that, like, that's the magnitude of the difference between these storylines.
It's fucking, we shouldn't let a show do this. Like, this is a really, this was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
This show needs to be canceled. Like, this show should have been canceled before this season.
Do not imagine it'll get another season after this.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is I saw no interest in this online. At least I haven't
They're taking Sopranos time in between seasons, and it's like, you're not the Sopranos.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't going to have patience for this show to take that long.
Especially, that's the other thing, is this doesn't look, like, it doesn't look interesting, this trailer.
At all.
It's Aaron Paul robbing banks or something, and it's just like...
Yeah, and at the very end, he finds Dolores, Evan Rachel Wood, in an underpass.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care. This is a completely different show.
Yeah, it's an aesthetic that doesn't look very interesting. I heard people online comparing it to Blade Runner. It's like,
it doesn't look anything like Blade Runner.
It doesn't look stylish. It doesn't look good in any way.
It looks like The Wire. It looks like nighttime scenes on The Wire. It doesn't look a fucking thing like Blade Runner.
Yeah. It doesn't even look as good as The Wire. That's the thing, is the first two seasons of Westworld at least had that like weird gooey robot aesthetic in the factories, even though half of it didn't make sense, but it was like that mixed with the cowboy stuff. Like, there was a really cool aesthetic to it.
Mm-hmm.
There were characters we were slowly giving a shit about.
Yeah.
Like, they're introducing a new protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah. At season two. That is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That is so dumb.
God damn it.
Fucking Westworld.
There's other worlds in Westworld. Like, it's so obvious to just like do a season about the Shogun world that we saw. Do a season in like medieval world.
Or do a
mini
series.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Just do a
mini series. Or don't make this, like, maybe don't turn a 78-minute movie into like this.
Not unless you have a plan. One of the things that was taught to me at this whole film school thing I was mentioning before is that when you write, traditionally, I think, maybe not traditionally, just like the best way to pitch a TV show is to have like an idea of the first five or six seasons, like actually be able to pitch like, this is where it would head and this is how they would grow.
If it's an ongoing narrative.
Yeah, if it's an ongoing narrative. And this feels like they just didn't plan it.
Well, they clearly
didn't. Yeah.
As you said, they stopped partway through the first season.
I think it was Christian Nolan's brother.
Jonathan Nolan.
Nolan was just like, I'm Jonathan Nolan. You know my brother. Hey, HBO, we should do Westworld. And it was just like, this is a great idea that we're not going to think too long about. It's just, it makes me mad because it's just like, I know people who are trying to be writers of TV who could do such a better job at stuff like
with
this.
The money that they spend on Westworld, it's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
This is trash.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a teacher when they didn't, like, when the student doesn't read the book or something, where it's like, seriously?
Yeah.
You had so much time to prepare.
Anyway, it's coming out in 2020.
Big bummer about robots this year.
Yeah.
2020, really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to care about that at that point.
Who the fuck is going to care? Like, Jesus Christ. Like, like I said, they're taking Sopranos time in between seasons, but it's not the fucking Sopranos. Like, you're telling such a disjointed crap factory of a story.
There's no point.
What is this? What are you doing?
Oh, Westworld.
Yep. That's a shame.
Yeah. Everybody just go watch the Michael Crichton one.
Yeah.
At least that had an ending.
Yeah, at least that
made sense.
A definitive beginning and ending point. Yeah. It doesn't give you this mystery bullshit.
It doesn't. Two-thirds in, it doesn't just change locations and characters.
It doesn't become an entirely different thing.
The hell. All right. This next one is The Art of Self-Defense, which
I'm super into this.
Yeah. I haven't seen much about it. People aren't talking about it.
We talked about an earlier trailer on one of these episodes. It's got Jesse Eisenberg and I think his name's Alessandro Nivolo. He played Billy in Jurassic Park 3 mm-hmm. as this crazed martial arts instructor in this film. It looks a lot like the foot fist way, in that it's just this, or like Danny McBride movie. The people who also did Eastbound and Down.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of this dark.
It's silly, but comedy. You can tell it's going to be real dark.
Yeah, like there's some darkness in this trailer.
It feels like it's like maybe like touching on toxic masculinity a bit.
Definitely,
or like,
yeah.
Yeah, where the premise is Jesse Eisenberg is basically just like scared all the time. He's like feels intimidated, so he takes self-defense classes, and like it clearly goes too far.
Right, his instructor's a maniac.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the violence starts bleeding into his day-to-day life. Like there's a scene where he just punches his supervisor in the neck.
Yeah, the supervisor like asks him something really mundane and he just punches him in the neck. Yeah. This has a lot of potential.
Yeah, it's probably going to be I suspect that it's going to be pretty funny but also like super dark. Like I think we're not seeing.
Oh yeah, it's not for everybody.
How bad this movie's gonna get? Yeah,
this is one that I'm just gonna see on VOD all of a sudden. Like it's gonna surprise me
for sure. Yeah, it'll be like, oh boy, I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm watching this movie.
Yeah, people should definitely check out the trailer because I don't think a lot of people. Again, I haven't heard much about it.
No,
this has just been on my radar.
Yeah. Just from doing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only reason I know about it. I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it too.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
What's next?
It's time. It's time to talk about Star Trek Picard. There's a new teaser out, you guys, and it is Vineyard heavy.
Almost exclusively Vineyard.
So much Vineyard.
For all you Picard heads out there. Yes, I'm
so pleased with the Vineyard vibe that I'm getting off of this.
This is such an old
poster,
man.
The poster is like, it's a Vineyard.
Yeah.
The trailer I get because it's like, yeah, he wants to retire at the Vineyard. This is about bringing him back. The fact that the poster is also Vineyard themed mm-hmm. makes me think like, is the first season just going to be on his Vineyard?
Yeah. It's just like intrigue on Picard's Vineyard.
Yeah. Like we're really teasing that Vineyard.
That was part of like Patrick Stewart's stipulations. Like I'll come back, but you're filming it all at my Vineyard.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, we'll make it work. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We'll write a whole show about you at the Vineyard.
Yep. The biggest
shit.
This pumped me. This pumped me up for this. But like, sure. It's still being made by the jackasses who made Discovery. And
yep.
Like, it's still CBS having no, seemingly so far having no idea what people want in Star Trek. That said, again, they clearly were like, we need the Vineyard to be a big part of this. Yeah. So they must know something.
Yeah, they're really tapped into that TNG fan base that just wants to see Picard's Vineyard.
It's technically his brother's Vineyard, I believe, and then Picard...
His brother burned to death, didn't he?
And his nephew. And I think the whole family, there's one episode, it's the one right after the Borg. Why can't I think of the name? It's not called Brothers, I don't think. Doesn't matter. Picard goes to Earth because he's just been all Borged out and he gets to hang out with his brother and his nephew, and he's wearing like his, I love the Earth civilian clothes because they're just like peasant robes in the Star Trek universe. Like everybody wears these weird
linen robes. Vanity items like buttons.
Yeah.
And or zippers.
And it's one of the best episodes because it's just him on this vineyard, like hanging out with his brother who's an asshole to him. And then they like fight and get drunk and then they like resolve things. And Picard like at one point breaks into tears over the Borg thing because like the Borg made him slaughter his own people. It's a big deal. Like I really appreciated the fact that they didn't just like have him go back to work after becoming a Borg. They like had episodes where he was psychologically scarred from it. Point is that they burnt to death in a fire in Generations.
Off screen. He's doing a his Which goofy little
really dark.
LARPing cosplay.
Yes, they're making Worf walk the plank when he learns that his family is dead.
His entire family burned alive.
What the fuck? Plus side, he got his vineyard.
It's a hell of a way to start your movie.
Yep, and then of course his vineyard comes back in the series finale, All Good Things, mm-hmm. where Picard is an old man and he's flipping through like time, and one of the times is him on his vineyard, which looks similar to the vineyard we see. They mess up continuity because Data is an old, there's an old Data in that.
Data dies.
Which Data, yeah, and Nemesis Data explodes. But spoilers, guys, for Nemesis.
They made another Data though, didn't they? To explain before. That.
It's not the same Data. They wouldn't call the, they wouldn't be like, well, now you're Data. Like, his name is B4.
Right, you're Data now.
Yeah. And I think Lore might still be around, his other brother. There's been a few.
It's a surprisingly models. Large family.
Yeah.
The Data family.
The doctor, Dr. Soon.
Ma and Pa Data.
Dr. Soon, he like had a few drafts, Data drafts. Mm-hmm. And Lore had too many, like was too real, was the reason, I believe, or that's what Lore said, so that he dialed it back and that's what Data is. Like that first, the village that he was like making these robots in, like a fucking real like Dr. Frankenstein situation.
For sure.
He made Lore, and Lore was just like too intense and had emotions and like was hateful. Mm. And so he was like, all right, I'm shutting you down. I'm going to make like
robot.
A dummy version. Yeah. I made a real, what's the point of making a robot that's just a human?
Yeah.
That's just like an asshole.
I don't want that.
Yeah. So yeah, this will all hopefully be explored in Picard.
Right, yeah, all this the mythology of Data will be heavily featured in Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, I like that basically what it seems like is that he's like a bitter old man, something happened, and they're like trying to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
They better think of a good reason why they need old-ass Picard back. It needs, I mean, it needs to be something.
It
where
needs to be fucking compelling.
Yeah. Well, they can do it. They could do like, oh, these bad guys are the only
the
ones.
The Borg are back or something.
Yeah. The Borg are back in town. sorry, everybody. That Borg got destroyed in Voyager, though. I don't know. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, this is obviously.
Or they won't. Or it'll be garbage.
Yeah, or it'll just be trash.
Yeah. This is post-Voyager. It's nice to see something post-Voyager. This is the first thing in like a decade that is post-Voyager, which I
More
believe...
than that, because Enterprise was pre.
Oh, you're right, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure the timeline, the furthest in the timeline they went was Voyager, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Yeah!
I'm gonna keep an eye on this. I'm excited for this.
Obviously, it's Picard.
Yeah, it's fucking Picard. They knew what we wanted. They were just Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, don't even try to come up with any other name for it.
Nope.
Just Star Trek Picard.
They could have called it like Vineyard Star Trek. Just the Vineyard Tales.
Mm-hmm.
Vineyard
Tales
stories.
From the Vineyard.
Yeah, Tales from the Vineyard. They could have done Young Indiana Jones, where it's just like Picard on his
Picard.
Vineyard,
yeah.
Telling stories.
Maybe that's what it's going to be.
That would be amazing. That'd be a bummer in the sense they would cheat it, where it's just like, oh, and now.
Yeah.
Okay, we should move on.
Yeah, let's move on to stories.
Grumpy Old Men remake.
Yeah, they're doing a Grumpy Old Men remake with Eddie Murphy and Sam Jackson.
Oh, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know they'd cast it yet. All right.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Murphy's definitely attached, and they said Sam Jackson is, like, circling it.
Okay.
Unquote, so.
I'll watch the shit out of that.
Yeah.
That's delightful.
The writers who are doing it are actually, what did they just do? They just wrote the Rescue Rangers movie, which is getting a lot of buzz. Because it's a
hilarious sentence.
Well, because it's supposed to be like along the lines of like a Lego movie or like a Lord and Miller effort, where it's like, this is actually pretty good.
Like, good. I mean, Rescue Rangers, there's a lot of like action that could be had there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so they apparently wrote like a quasi meta Rescue Rangers movie.
Jesus.
Now they're doing this Grumpy Old Men remake with Eddie Murphy and probably Sam Jackson.
That's fucking terrific.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and now I want to know what the Rescue Rangers is. If it's like if it's like some sort of comment on our ridiculous nostalgia.
That would be
our willingness
something.
To make something like, I don't know, Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be terrific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next story is that we're getting some info about Christopher Nolan's next film.
Yeah, it's called Tenet.
Yep. And
which is a palindrome.
Oh, it is.
I hope that plays into it somehow.
Oh, it's gotta. It's I forget.
Gonna be all tiny and shit.
Do you remember what it's about?
I don't think anybody knows what it's about.
I thought I heard it was like a spy thing or something. I don't know. It's got Michael Caine in it.
Sure as hell does.
Yeah. I think there's some other actors also in it. But
probably, but mostly Michael
Caine.
Michael Caine plays most of the major roles in the film, as I understand it. Yeah. No, I think, like, isn't Robert Pattinson in it?
And is he? That's delightful.
I can't remember now.
That would be delightful if that's true.
Yeah.
If you're not lying.
Well,
I guess I could click on the link.
Yeah, I should probably figure this out.
I only put Michael Caine as what mattered.
Yeah, Pattinson is in it.
Good.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
John David Washington.
Okay.
All right.
Good, Christopher Nolan. Good. I'm sure I'll enjoy this. I started to watch Inception the other day, and that's one where it's like, maybe it's just so played out in my mind that I was like, I gotta go do something else.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like Nolan films.
I remember watching Inception in the theater during the whole third act when they're actually doing the heist and being like, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
I fucking love
Inception.
Nolan
fucking
films.
Worked on me.
Oh, yeah. They all, I like them all. Obviously, like, he doesn't understand people.
There has never been a human being in a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
But it's fine. Interstellar, fuck me up, Christopher Nolan. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Fuck me up,
Nolan.
Get weirder.
I like Dunkirk, but I was like,
I still haven't seen Dunkirk.
It's Dunkirk is his shortest movie, and it's just like, here's a little war movie.
Here's a little war movie, yeah. That's
here's Tom Hardy just flying around for a while. It's Tom Hardy he's just zooming around.
Zipping around.
There's
the
other
plane.
Things happening, but they just keep being like, let's check in with Tom Hardy.
Meanwhile, Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you should see it. It's good.
I think the fact that it was just like a straightforward war film is what made me see it immediately. Because it's I've seen this.
But again, it's Nolan, so you're just like, it's just like, yep, here's real planes zipping around. Here's all these practical, you know.
It's great. I'm sure it's a great piece of filmmaking. It's just like, I've never been huge.
No, me neither. But
into war movies,
I make exceptions. Like Saving Private Ryan.
Very similar. That's the best one.
Yeah,
but
I've never been a fan of war movies because they, I don't know, they're real bummers.
Yeah,
because it's like, this actually happened, and man, it sucked. It really sucked.
Mm.
It always feels weird to like for a filmmaker, it's almost always feels a little like, I know they're trying to tell these stories,
yeah,
and trying to tell these people's stories. It never not feels like weird,
right? Exploitative.
yeah, because then there's stuff like Pearl Harbor where it's like, a lot of people died, Michael Bay, and you're making this.
Woof.
This really bums me out. It's Michael, like, Bay,
I routinely forget that film exists.
Yeah.
Like, I do, man.
Who allowed that? When Michael Bay walked in and was like, I'm going to do a Pearl Harbor film, people should have been like, no, we're
all good. Set here, Michael.
Yeah, you can go. We'll use that. Yeah, we'll probably make one of those, but not you. Jesus. speaking of terrible ideas,
mm-hmm.
Dan Aykroyd.
yeah.
Dan Aykroyd.
Just right there.
He has he announced that he's like shopping around or like trying to push a Ghostbusters prequel.
Ghostbusters High.
Yeah, this is why we don't let Dan Aykroyd make things anymore. I firmly believe he's walking around being like, here it is, and they're like, that's great, Dan. We'll get to this away.
We'll read it and see if we can fit it into our schedule.
Yeah, and he's just being like, yep, there's gonna be a new Ghostbusters, and they're all like, oh, sure.
Sure, man.
This makes no sense.
Ghostbusters High.
It's about the characters meeting in high school and fighting ghosts.
What?
Something they don't actually learn exists until they're like 20s.
Yeah.
Well,
you assume that, like, Egon and Ray have been, like, I get the sense watching Ghostbusters that Egon and Ray have been friends and colleagues for a while, but, like, Venkman's
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't meet Venkman until college, because there's a line where Ray says, you've never been out of the university.
Oh,
I've
right.
worked in the private sector. So, and it's like, they clearly didn't. And you can look at those characters and be like, Venkman would not hang out with these guys in high school.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And since we see them meet Winston, like he says,
yeah, we see them meet Winston.
He says, well, he says in his interview, he's like, imagine watching those three guys in high school. And it's like, oh, you're just cutting them completely out, huh? Like, yeah, that's what we want. That's yeah that's great. You know,
we've been demanding less Winston for years. Yeah. That's for sure.
Jesus fucking Christ. Dan, I looked up his IMDb and he's got a Blues Brothers TV show he's writing.
Oh, no.
That, again, I feel like he punched that into IMDb himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a few executives like, sure, Dan. Sure.
Sure you are.
Yeah. Because we know how good you are with the Blues Brothers franchise.
Yeah. Historically, that's a movie that I don't understand.
What, Blues Brothers 2000? Or
Blues Brothers period.
Oh, yeah, that's one it's dated. It's like, I think it's just past. It's like Animal House or
right.
Like,
it's just dated.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, this isn't funny anymore. I think of that era, the only movie that still gets me is Stripes, and even Stripes is like still has some of that vibe. Where like the part where the army guy is like spying on the women in the shower, they still have that like scene.
Mm-hmm.
But Stripes at least is like weird enough, and it's got Bill Murray.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, he's killing it.
So yeah, Ghostbusters High. Look forward to that never coming out.
Yeah. I do like the other Ghostbusters. I was reading a little bit about the premise, and I like the idea. It's what's in the teaser, which is that the old garage and stuff. It's about like a family moving into a house and like learning about their lineage, that they like had these Ghostbuster, had a Ghostbuster dad or like the idea is that it's like, what it sounds like is that Ghostbusters aren't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just someone learning, like basically finding that car in their garage and like learning, finding the equipment or something.
Hmm.
Like it's a neat idea for a Ghostbusters sequel, but it also implies that the adventure will get going once they find that shit, which implies further that the Ghostbusters are the problem.
Yeah.
Like they're the ones stirring shit up and causing these portals, but whatever.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I'm taking a lot from a very little
right
description. That's it for news stories.
All right. Well, do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I do. I think we talked about this at some point, but the trailer's out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't seeing much views on it. Guys, this is the Nightingale.
Yeah.
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 This comes out August 2nd. It's got an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. The hook, the thing you need to immediately know is this is Jennifer Kent, the director of The Babadook, her follow-up film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it showed at some festivals already.
Yeah. Well, it's got a rating on.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So I feel like, I think it showed like late last year at some festivals.
Very excited for this. It's not a horror movie.
Not explicitly. No. There's clearly horror elements in it.
That's the thing, is she's very good at directing horror. So you can, like, it's, there's horrible things happening.
Yeah.
It's about a woman who, I believe is like held hostage, or like her family is killed.
Yeah. It's quartering British soldiers. It takes place in Tasmania, I think. So British soldiers basically occupy her home and end up fucking her shit all up.
Yeah. And like the beginning of the trailer is she's like being forced to sing for this fucking British guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I think they get attacked or something, whatever happens, she manages to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs into like
an Aborigine.
They kind of clash, but he's her only hope to like get out of there. And they
track the British down, I think.
Yes. Oh, that's it. Yes. It's a revenge story.
It's a revenge story. And they're both basically united by their shared hatred of the British.
That's my favorite part. Yeah. In the description, it was just like, yeah, they eventually come to understand each other because they both hate the British.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, we can all.
Well, there's a lot of really good imagery in the that we see in the trailer. One of the ones that stuck with me, there's a scene where she's like being forced to sit at a table and eat with the soldiers, and she's looking across the room and he's being forced to sit on the floor.
Yes.
And eat out of like a dog dish.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn.
Yeah, this is going to be brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, the scenes being described are like, yeah, it's very much the British are, they're not cool in this. Not cool guys.
They're historically not cool.
No, yes. They got a lot of skeletons in that closet. Yeah.
It looks great.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see that. I mean, the Babadook was great.
Yeah. The Babadook, I need to watch it again. Babadook is one of those movies that, one of those rare horror movies that comes along where there's certain moments that give me, like, creep me out so much by something I've never really seen before, mm-hmm. or something done, like, not a jump scare, not necessarily just a creepy image, like something that just, like, makes, like, my stomach tighten.
It makes you uneasy.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the part where she's, like, watching the news, and it's, like, the woman who killed her kids on the news, window. And yeah. it's her.
Yeah.
And she's smiling. And it's, like, stuff like that where it's just, like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's fucking intense.
Yeah. And so this woman, she was an actress, I guess.
Was she?
Yeah. And I looked her up. She was not in that much, but she seems like, if she wants to stay doing these indie films, that's fine. That's fine. But like,
fine with that.
We need her.
Yeah. Yeah. We need like, more people like this. Yeah.
She's seems like she's very, very good at what she does. And I'm really excited to see more.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie looks like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm excited on a similar note. I'm waiting for us to get a trailer for, was it The Lighthouse? It's the director of The Witches, yes. follow up with Robert Pattinson,
Willem Dafoe
as lighthouse keepers. I hope it's nothing more than that. I hope it's just a couple of lighthouse keepers hanging out.
Oh, there's something more than that.
Yeah. It's a good setting for like a,
oh, for sure.
Maybe a horror movie.
I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, that'll probably be on a movie that deserves more hype in a at hopefully soon. Yeah.
Until then, yeah. Fucking. What did I say?
Nightingale comes out in August.
August. That's not far
not
from
that far
now.
Away.
I think it's limited. I think you'll probably see it on VOD.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I mean that's where I saw the Babadook on. I think
yeah,
Netflix.
You're right. Fucking Babadook.
Fucking Babadook.
That kid. You really want to smack that kid?
That kid's a little shit.
He's so good at it.
Yeah.
Or she was really good at directing him to be a little shit. Mm-hmm. That movie taps into a lot. That's one of those where it's like, ugh. Like yeah. just like it could have, there could have been no Babadook. It could just been like,
well, they're kind of
parenting.
Isn't.
Well, yeah,
that's sort of,
but
point.
You know what I mean?
Spoilers
like
for the Babadook, but
I mean, it could have just been about like how just raising a shitty son and with like very little support. Like that's a nightmare.
My dickhead son.
Yeah. Baba Dick? No, that's probably the parody.
Yeah, I'm
the porn parody. It better be.
Yeah. Looks exactly the same. The top hat and a huge smile on his face.
The
his dick
big
swinging.
Old dick. Yep.
Maybe his dick has a hat too.
Oh yeah, it's got it. And a smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then you're all cowards.
Yeah. It's like the alien parody in Spaceballs. It's like got a little like
got a little,
little
got a little
hat.
Boater hat on.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good image. I'm glad we thought of that image.
I'm glad we left you all with that.
Yeah,
because guess what? That's a sewed.
Yeah, it is. What do we got to plug?
Man, what do we got? Well, we've got a Patreon, you guys. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You can head over there and support us. And check out exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder's a Maniac.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We also twitch.tv/gamefully_unemployed.
Yep.
And tpublic.com/store/gamefully unemployed. Check it all out.
All that stuff. Get all up in there.
Yeah.
And just dip your toes in that.
Dip anything.
Just any old part.
Yeah.
Do it. We should make little boater hats for your junk.
Sure.
And sell it on the store.
Sure. I think we can do that.
Probably, right? There's yeah. There's no law against
it. I'll email
you. We can make tiny hats
like,
for your dick.
This is what I'm imagining. I know you don't sell any of a product like this, but hear me out.
But check this out.
Yeah.
There's a demand.
Yeah. Clearly.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.